But when it is appropriate to comment on it, I certainly will do that. Okay?
Okay. Let me ask you another question.
Sure.
Is it true that you supposedly called Amy Goodman out her name as far as like a white bitch?
It's not true.
That's not true.
And that's one of the other aspects of this. I mean, I can say that to you. But that's another thing that will probably result in, well, it's going to result in some, how shall I put it? What's the best way to put it without? First of all, just let me say, that is not true. That is absolutely not true. The people who have been playing a tape to that extent cannot find one point on that tape when that is said.
Clayton, I listen to the station, and I always remember, I like the station. You know, I really do, and I think all you guys, you women and men and women, have wonderful insight. You're intelligent people. But one thing I don't understand is what, you know, my father always taught me growing up that we can always agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like in the conversation on too many of the shows, it's like the thing I always say about Clinton. I said, you know, like, I'm no Clinton. I'm no Clinton fan, but
mm-hmm.
I told a friend of mine, I said, you know what? When people seem to dislike you or have a thing where you have a problem with you for whatever reason, it's like this guy could go out and find a cure for cancer, and they will find some kind of spin to figure out, you know what I mean? To cure cancer would be a bad thing. If these Republican spin doctors, and that's what I feel about being. And I'm not pointing you out in particular. I just don't understand why, if someone, in other words, say Amy Goodman or you or whoever, you have something good to offer. It seems like now what I'm hearing on the radio is like, no, whatever. Forget about everything good a person did. Forget about what Bernard did or Clayton Riley did that was good.
Mm-hmm.
If you are on the opposite side of this issue, that goes out the window, and I think that's sad.
You're right on point with that. And what I would like to say in response to what you brought up, this program today, to this point, has had nothing to do with the internal issues of WBAI. We've talked about a number of things, the conference in Durban, which I think is a vital issue for people to be discussing. It seems to me is far more important than most of these other
Absolutely.
Things that get blabbered about. The issue of what I consider a form of child abuse in regard to what has happened to Danny Almonte and several other members of that. Let's remember, here is a 14-year-old kid who has not been in school. Man. What does that say about a system in place? Because I look also at the Board of Education in that regard. You know, it's not like you can have a kid just walking around in a neighborhood. Nobody knows he's going to school. Here is a young man who will start school, as we pointed out a moment ago, next week, who does not speak English.
At all.
Okay? So he's got a challenge in front of him. And where are the adults around this young man who are actively supporting him? I don't see that happening.
That's a shame, man.
Let me say this, and if you're not familiar, is your dad about? Your dad still living?
Yes,
you mentioned
yes.
your dad before.
Yes.
If you're not aware of it, I'm sure your dad will be. When you talk about the situation here, as you brought it up, I will say this to everybody who's listening. Remember the Scottsboro case. Okay?
Okay.
You got it. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
BAI, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I missed you, man. I really and truly have.
Okay.
What I wanted to say was I'm so glad you said what you did earlier about the Williams sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will admit Channel 7 did a thing on race about 2 weeks ago, and they talked about the incident when I can't remember who the side-by-side commentator was, but they referred to, I think she referred to, I think Davenport as very an intelligent sports player, and Serena, I think, was considered. Well, she's a very athletic player.
Common. That's a common. This has happened so commonly. One of the points too, as you bring it up, let us remember how far this goes. John McEnroe probably the worst behaved human being in the history of professional sports, has the audacity to criticize the Williams sisters for their behavior? I mean, it's unimaginable.
Blacks are expected to almost come out as if, you ever see the old 1940 newsreel of Hattie McDaniel, the Academy Award, which a buddy of mine reminds me, that speech wasn't written by her, it was written by someone else, but I'm a credit, I want to be a credit to the, I look at that, and you look at Anna, I can't even call that kid's name.
Kournikova.
She's basically, let's say, Lolita. And that's why she gets all of those endorsements.
But consider now what Martina Hingis said. And again, as I pointed out earlier, you can forgive her for being just a stupid young kid. I mean, she's just dumb. And she may not be dumb in Switzerland, you know, in her own circumstances. But at least she was bright enough, in a moment of lucidity anyway, to say she doesn't understand the rules of this country. So she's going to stand up and say, the Williams sisters get endorsements because they're black. Somebody should have said to her, why does Anna Kournikova get endorsements?
And she couldn't hold one of the Williams sisters' racket.
This woman has never won a tournament. So what is she getting endorsements for?
And Martina should know, and Navratilova, she should know better for what she went through.
She disgraced herself. It was a dishonorable thing to do, particularly considering for the support she was asking for not too many years ago when she was going through all these changes about being a lesbian celebrity and called upon people to be supportive, to fight off the bigots, to fight off the lack of true understanding of what was going on. She's going to turn around and dog the Williams sisters for what? For winning?
quick thing I wanted to leave you with. First, I wanted to ask you if you've seen Sandra Bernhardt's show or whatever. She had Paul Mooney on it last night.
I cannot watch Sandra Bernhardt. I'm very sorry.
Mooney, but she wouldn't let him speak.
I have to say that is probably, some would say, a bigoted. I cannot look at this woman. She managed to get on about 40 seconds before I could get to the clicker, before I could get to the remote. She managed to get on that long. I cannot stand the sight of Sandra Bernhardt. And I also know that who is it in television or anywhere else, the movies or what have you, who puts this woman in this situation? I guess what I'm asking is, why do we have such a division on the matter of judgment?
Nice.
I mean, when I would say, hey, there are certain people I like to see hosting a television show, and I suddenly come back, it's like, for example, we talk about BAI. I listen, for example, to the music that is played by some people here, and I say, man, I really must be out of the loop because I don't understand why anybody would play that. And I'm sure others say the same thing. Well, why does Clayton play that stuff that he plays? Because we are, like it or not, and people, I think, don't like it, but we are a deeply divided country. And until people are willing to acknowledge that and do something about it, we will probably grow even more divided.
And the last thing I wanted to say was my comment on this. There was a disc jockey at a certain radio station, a rap radio station, made when the Aaliyah.
That was very, very bad
this
stuff.
Howard Stern wannabe. I wanted to, my personal feeling on this hook is, and maybe I'm wrong, I don't listen to this thing, but my personal feeling is this was a guy who had Aaliyah been more in the realm of, let's say, a moron like Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
Or like some, not all, but some rap stars whose name I won't call, who every time they open their mouth, they seem to lose IQ points. If she had been along those lines, he would have acted as if it was Coretta Scott King.
Yeah, I hear you.
But because it was a young lady who was intelligent, she was an A student in school, let's criticize it. And I believe that's where that came from.
Very, very poor judgment on his part. He seems to have expressed some contrition. I don't know. I know that there is a huge effort being made, mail-ins and emails, to say that he shouldn't return from the air. I would not, incidentally, be part of that either. But I do think what he did was just unconscionable. Thank you for calling.
Take care, bro.
BAI, you're on the air. Hello? Hello? Not there. BAI, you're on the air.
You know the guy that's on after you, John McDonough?
Yes, I know John McDonough.
Well, he's the one who said you called Amy Goodman a white Jewish bitch.
So well, he doesn't know it. Well, I will say
you have no guts.
Okay, I will say to you, and I will say to John, if he wants to say that to me, to my face, which I don't think he wants to do, that he's a liar. He doesn't know what he's talking about, and you don't either. B.A.I., you're on the air. B.A.I., you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yes?
You know, the playing field always changes when people have plenty of melanin in their skin.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of that little boy, I don't know anything about the game or anything. Are they going to examine the records of that all Caucasian team that played against them?
I don't know.
Going to be fair?
I don't know if they are going to do that, but my understanding is that records throughout the Little League are examined on a regular basis, and they examine basically to ensure that kids are within the age range. You can begin, if you are 12 at the beginning of the Little League season, you can become 13 during the season. And what they check for is those birth records. And I think that is done on a rather regular basis. Now, understand what the Little League officials are saying in regard to Danny Almonte. They acted on information given to them by Danny Almonte's father.
Oh.
And they assumed that the information that they received was accurate. As it turned out, it is not accurate.
Oh.
Okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. B.A.I., you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, I will say it to your face that you said that Amy Goodman is a bitch.
How do you know?
Because I have a copy of the tape.
Well, I have that. Bring the tape. Bring the tape. Let me hear the tape.
Jeff Dolinsky calling her all sorts of anti-Semitic slurs.
Let me hear the tape. Put it on right now.
Would you like to hear the anti-Semitic slurs that you called
Beth Galinsky? I want to hear the tape about am I? I've heard the tape with Beth Galinsky.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what did I call it?
Yes.
What did I say?
You deny.
No, I'm not.
Hitler had his way with you.
No,
I never said that.
That's not what I said.
What'd you say?
Well, you have the tape. You tell me.
Okay. You are a liar. You're an anti-Semite.
Yeah.
And you are also a misogynist.
Well, your mama loves me, and she's hard to please.
Boy, that's nice. That'll get you someplace, Clayton. Say goodbye, Clayton.
Say goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Say goodbye. B.A.I.
Good afternoon, Clayton.
You're on the air.
Yes. I want you to settle an argument for me.
Yeah.
Do you recall many, many years ago there was a camp in upstate New York known as Camp Unity?
Camp Unity. I'm not familiar with that one now.
Oh, you aren't familiar?
No.
Well, I thought you might be. Because the point I wanted to bring out was in 1945, Bess Meyerson was nominated as, I think, Miss America,
mm-hmm.
if you recall. And that same year, 1945, a young woman by the name of Edna Marshall
mm-hmm.
was also the queen of Camp Unity.
Mm-hmm.
And both of the young women, Bess Meyerson and Edna Marshall, were graduates of Hunter College
mm.
at the same time. I thought that you might have been around at the time to know about it.
No, I'm not. I'm not familiar with Camp Unity. You know, I thought you could say something like Camp Minisink or a number of other, you know, the camps during the period. But Camp Unity, I'm not familiar with.
Well, Camp Unity was an adult camp.
Mm-hmm.
It was a labor camp.
Yeah.
I think at one time it was sponsored by the Communist Party.
Quite likely. And there were a number of such camps, as you may know. That one escaped my attention. Thanks for calling. B.A.I., you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Clayton.
Yeah, that's a big room you're in.
Oh, not really. I'll just let me turn it down.
Yeah, turn there. That's a big radio, too.
That's a little one, really. Anyway, I'm calling to say that the fact that a misogynist like you is on the air speaks volumes about management. I am, incidentally, the person that you had a conversation with a few weeks ago, you may recall.
Where was that?
It was on the radio. I was trying to make a point, you know, about management, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah, go ahead. Make the point now so we can get rid of you.
Oh, okay. For one thing, let me preface this and say...
Preface? What does that mean? Preface? How do you spell... Wait a minute. How do you spell preface?
Wait a minute. I'm the person that when
preface.
You...
Preface. Hopti, somebody is here talking about preface. Do you know what that means?
All right.
Preface?
Listen, the fact that you have syphilis of the mind has nothing to do with it. But the fact of the matter is, I was the gentleman that told you to go F you.
Yes. Yes, we remember. Yes, we do.
Okay.
Say it again. Say
why?
It. Go ahead. Say it right now.
Why do you want me to say it?
Well, why did you say it before?
Because you were being rude as you usually
okay, well,
are.
If I have syphilis of the mind, why don't you say it again now?
Say what?
What you said last time.
Well, last time you gave the listenership false information, as you usually do.
What was the false information?
False information, as many listeners may know who may have heard this, was that the station is in dire straits and our FCC license may be taken away and we might be fined. You know, you are a liar. People should see you for what you are.
See me for what I am.
You are
see
dumb.
Me for
no
what I am. Oh, see me for what I am.
Animal.
Will you see? An animal is what I am. Will you see me for what? See, here you go. This is an example of the community we're dealing with. You see? Yeah. What was that last term he used?
Hello?
Was that it? Oh, something like that. Yeah, right. Hello?
Hello, Clayton.
Hello.
This is Robert Knight.
So what?
I'm a witness to your referring to Amy Goodman as a white bitch.
How did you
I think your denial is cowardly.
Hey, you want to talk to me or you want to rant? Let's have a conversation, Robert. How did you make that tape, Robert?
Why do you assume I made it?
Well, who did make it? The engineer who was on duty at that time. Wait a minute.
You said, why do you want to kiss that white bitch's ass?
That's not true.
That's what you said.
That isn't so.
Okay.
Play the tape for us.
You got to stand by that, Clayton?
Yes, I am. And I've heard the tape. I heard you talking to Dennis Bernstein. And nowhere on that tape is that statement made.
Are you also going to deny attacking me?
What?
In your Treason's office?
What? Of course I'm going to deny that.
You're going to deny that?
Yes.
Okay.
Robert, look.
See you
look.
Later.
Okay,
bye.
Robert, you want to talk or not? Okay.
Well, no,
Robert, are you still there?
Yes,
let's talk, Robert.
I'm here.
Let's talk. Robert.
You're lying, Clayton.
Okay, well, let's talk, Robert. Let's drop the accusations and the name-calling, and let's have a conversation, okay? You called. Obviously, you want to talk, so let's talk.
Clayton, you referred to Amy Goodman as a white bitch.
Not so.
I'm a witness. I was
not
in the room.
Well, so there were other witnesses. I was in the room, too.
You have referred to her, and you said, why don't you go back to South Africa and call people?
Not so.
You have racialist remarks.
Not so.
Not the behavior of a strong, conscious black man.
Well, that's something you wouldn't know anything about as a strong, unconscious white woman, Robert, or Roberta, or whatever your real name is.
Thank you, Clayton. Say goodbye.
WBAI.
Oh, good morning.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the article that they had on Channel 9?
What's that?
About the Post. This redneck on the Post wrote about Aaliyah had no business riding a carriage, horse drawn carriage.
I don't want to talk about this. Say goodbye.
Get lost.
Hello. You're on the radio.
Oh,
let's remember. Hey, just hold on 1 second before. I want to talk to you about Robert Knight, who calls up in his usual state of hysteria, which has seemed to have overwhelmed him recently. He is running around with this tape, which is largely unintelligible. What he doesn't really want to respond to is the fact that this tape was made surreptitiously in this studio while a program was in progress. And I want to have Robert Knight give a clear and unequivocal answer as to how the tape was made. Because, in fact, if it was made surreptitiously, there is a question about why the engineer on duty did not know that a taping was in progress while we were on the air. My understanding is that is a violation of FCC regulations. If it indeed is, let's talk about that. Moreover, I will stand by what I have said continually, that I never addressed that remark to Amy Goodman. That is simply untrue. Now, Robert will tell you he has a tape. Well, let him play the tape and let him identify my voice saying that. because that simply did not happen. They, in collusion with one another, cooked up this. Again, I want to remind you, go back and read carefully the measures included in the text of the Scottsboro case. Robert doesn't even know what the Scottsboro case is, so you can't depend on him to give you any answers in that regard. This has been built. First of all, now Jewish enters the, as one caller said a moment ago, Jewish enters the whole issue of who's been called what. This, again, callers, did not happen. If it happened, it would seem to me to be a legal matter. I haven't seen that happen. And I will say to you again, unequivocally, did not happen. There is no tape to certify that it did happen. This was an effort on the part of two people to force another person off the air because they weren't satisfied with changes that occurred at the station. Okay? Very simple. Let's take another call. And incidentally, that recording was made last February. It's interesting. It's coming up now. BAI, you're on the air. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It is possible.
What is possible?
For you to raise
what is possible?
The status. You're being a victim here.
I'm being a what?
You are a victim of bad parenting.
Oh, really?
It is obvious to me.
You met my parents?
No, but
well, how do you know?
I haven't been taught how to be a human being.
Well, you don't sound very much like a human being. Are you on medication?
Oh, Mrs. Riley, don't stop.
Are you on medication?
Go, baby.
Are you on a medication? Do you have you forgotten your medicine today? Okay. The guy has returned. I guess he cleaned his cage out. Hello. You're on the air.
You're a cop basher.
Oh, cop basher. When did we bash the cops? Can we roll the tape on the cop bashing episode? BAI, you're on the air. BAI, you're on the air. Hello.
Clayton.
Hello.
Why do you indulge these people?
I don't know. I really don't know. You know, because
listen.
Let me answer your question.
Go ahead, bro.
We gotta clear the decks. We've got to let people know that a concerted effort has been made on a very racist level, in my judgment,
mm-hmm.
to create an atmosphere at this station that is in reaction to what has happened at the station recently. When I first broadcast at WBAI, I think it was, if memory serves me, 67, there was one black person here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? One. Now there are numbers of black people here. We ought not to be surprised at the reaction. You familiar with the Scottsboro case?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Do the overlay here. When an individual at this station accuses virtually in tandem four black people of assault, of harassment, of theft, all sorts of things, and everybody swallows it whole.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody says, I called this individual, whose name, in my judgment, is no longer even worth mentioning,
mm-hmm.
that I made this statement to her. That is an absolute lie. There is no tape that will substantiate that. Robert Knight, in his particular way, notwithstanding. Robert has some serious problems.
Well,
okay?
That's one of the things I'm finding so surprising, because this is a gentleman that's supposed to be a journalist, right? That's supposed to bring credibility to the things that he said.
Caller, we have to get out of here. I just want to say... because we run out of time. I'm sorry. Please, let's have this conversation another time.
I'm glad you're back on.
Okay.
And
instruction to Robert Knight. Try to keep your nose clean, Robert.
And get the
okay.
evidence.
Right.
All right, go.
Exploring the music of Grateful Dead and related configurations presents an original atmosphere of sound every week. Featuring live Dead, plus an extreme diversification in music from blues, funk, hip-hop, classical, folk, and indigenous groove. Commercially free in New York City and the surrounding universe.
Moorish. Orthodox. Radio. Crusade. Anarchism for the global city. Radical environmentalism for the concrete jungle. Esoteric explorations of the secret history of rebel culture. The Moorish Orthodox Radio Crusade. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news. Only on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Be there.
Meteors for stars, because I can't hold my liquor, but I can hold my breath and ascend like wind to the black hole and play galaxophones on the fire escapes of your soul, blowing tunes through lunar wombs, impregnating stars, giving birth to suns that darken the skins that skin our drums, and we be beating infinity over sacred hums, spinning funk like myrrh until Jesus comes, and Jesus comes every time we drum, and the moon drips blood and eclipses the sun, and out of darkness comes the and out of darkness comes the and out of darkness comes the
Underground Railroad. Hip-hop music and culture. Every Saturday night from midnight to 2 a.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.
You're tuned to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Coming up next, live from Low Jack City, Radio Free Iron, so stay tuned.
cartoons, you depicted us as swill. And whack TV shows like the Deadpool. Benny Hill, amazing. You never came to your senses. Figured out you'd have to face the consequences. Sent us across the water, but you didn't scope the tide. Now the tide is rising worldwide. Senior, post your fist if you love freedom. Senior, post your fist if you love culture. Senior, post your fist if you love freedom. Senior, post your fist if you love culture. From Du Bois to O'Neill and John O'Mahony to Joe McGarity and Michael Flannery, seditions are tradition and it won't just go away. Say it loud, say it proud. I will say an unrepentant senior bastard. Unrepentant senior bastard. Unrepentant senior bastard. Respect to all who refuse to be masked. Senior, hold your fist if you love freedom. Senior, hold your fist if you love culture. Senior, hold your fist. If you love freedom, Venus, hope your fist. If you love culture, Venus, hope your fist. If you love freedom, Venus, hope your fist. If you love culture, Venus, hope your fist. If you love freedom, Venus, hope your fist. If you love culture, Venus, hope your fist. If you love freedom, Venus, hope your fist. If you love culture, Venus.
Our duty is to counteract them in every way we can to make sure they're miserable in Ireland.
Pump your fist if you love culture. Venus, pump your fist if you love freedom. Venus, pump your fist if you love culture. Venus, pump your fist if you love freedom. Venus, pump your fist if you love culture. Venus, 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 pump your fist if you love freedom. Venus, pump your fist if you love culture. Venus, pump your fist if you love freedom. Hope your fist if you love culture. Venus, hope your fist if you love freedom. Venus, hope your fist if you love culture.
Welcome to Radio Free Erin. We're back. It's Saturday, Labor Day weekend. My name is Sandy Boyer. I'm filling in for John McDonough. And Liza Butler is here doing the engineering, in charge of the music, as always. Liza, what happened to John?
Well, John has decided to leave us and head to Broadway. He had such a successful debut on Broadway at Caroline's that he has actually hired an agent, and he's actually standing on Broadway and 14th Street as we speak. No, actually, John is taking a well-deserved rest. It's tough work in Broadway these days, and he'll be back next week.
I believe he's in Boston visiting his in-laws. I want to fill you in on what's coming up on today's show. Before I do that, I do want to wish a speedy recovery to a longtime listener, Pete Farrelly, who had surgery this week, and I'm told by George Harrison that everything's going very well there. And as well, I was asked to make an announcement about the next meeting of the Concerned Friends of WBAI, which will feature guest speakers Amy Goodman discussing the current struggles of Democracy Now, and Juan Gonzalez on strategies for the next period. That's this coming Thursday, September 6th at 6:30 p.m. at the Henry Winston Center, 235 West 23rd Street between 7th and 8th Avenues. So that's this coming Thursday at 6:30, and that's the speakers are Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez, the columnist for the Daily News and longtime host of Democracy Now!
Also, the Blarney Star has released its upcoming events for this September and October. That's a bar down on 43rd Murray Street in Church Street, down near here in Wall Street. And they have Irish music every Friday night, sets at 9 and 10:30, and it's a really, really great place to go hear music. It's like big long tables, and you'll just sort of sit around, and it's got some great Irish food. So starting September 7th, Dick Gohan. Whatever. And Sandy, maybe you want to say who that is?
This is a terrific Scottish singer, does many Irish ballads as well. I think he's one of the finest folk singers out of the folk tradition working today. I think it's $15 donation for two sets, and you're not going to get that anywhere else. So I won't actually be in town. I'll be in Dublin by that time, but if I were, I would definitely make it down to the Blarney Star on Murray Street to catch Dick Gohan.
Okay, also quickly, September 14th, Cathal McConnelly And that he's actually a fluter and singer and tin whistle player from County Fermanagh. September 21st, Ivan Goff, who's actually Dublin-born river dance veteran, and he's the Ullian Pipes. And September 28th, John Carthy and Brian McGrath, and they're Burl Bryan's from Dedanna fame. And October 5th, Cormac Bretnoth and Barton
Bretnoth
and Barton Dunley. And finally, October 12th, Joni Madden and her father Joe will be playing. So
that should be lots of fun.
Yeah, it's a really great place to go down and hear some great music. So.
And you want to just give the address again? It's 43 Murray Street, is that right?
With Church Street, and I think what's the subway stop right there? So
it's any of the City Hall stops.
Yeah,
you can get
right
the NR2345, and or on the other side you can get the AE, all those nice trains. So it's very accessible, great music. And coming up on today's show, we got just this morning some horrific news. 2 weeks ago, we began covering the hunger strike in Turkey, which is getting no attention here. And last night, the 63rd person died on that hunger strike, a 38-year-old woman, Hayla Simsek. And I hope I didn't butcher that name too badly. We are going to go to London to speak to Gürkan Gür about the hunger strike in Turkey, about the political prisoners. People say, well, why an Irish show? Why would you cover that? First of all, of course, we have our own experiences with the hunger strike in 1980-81 when 10 men died. And there's a huge protest movement. It's not being covered here, but it's certainly being covered in Ireland. And in fact, next Saturday there'll be a rally in Dublin. I'll be there, and we'll be covering it. And the person who's coordinating, who I've been working with in London, who's coordinating it, is Rory O'Driscoll. So certainly there's a huge Irish connection there. And we think it's a tremendously important, compelling story. We're going to be reporting on it every week from here on out. We hope it's not very long. We hope there's a favorable resolution. But when 63 people have died, there's something going on, and we have to break that silence. The big story of the week in Ireland, I suppose, and the last 2 weeks at least, has been the three Irishmen who turned up in Colombia in the territory of the FARC, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. And they were arrested and are held in a horrendous prison in Colombia. And the great controversy is, are they or are they not in the IRA? And what were they doing there? And, of course, there's been a huge flap down in Washington with people like Congressman Ben Gilman, the former chair of the International Relations Committee, saying that this is very serious. He's been a big backer of Sinn Féin, the peace process. He says this puts all that in danger. He may not be able to continue his support. The administration has said that if the IRA was in any way involved with the FARC, even if they're just holding discussions, whether they were arming the FARC or not, and that is one report, is that they were trading Semtex for money. I'm not saying that's true. We don't know. That is one report. State Department is saying any contact between the IRA and the FARC would jeopardize relations between Sinn Féin and this administration. There's even speculation that the IRA could be put back on the subversive list, the terrorist list. We wait and see. Back in Ireland, Sinn Féin is saying, who, us? We don't know these people. Unfortunately, one of them, Jim Monaghan, was photographed on the dais at a Sinn Féin Ardèche. That's their, for people who are not familiar with the term Ardèche, that's their convention. And it seems he was sitting with Mitchell McLaughlin, who's the chairman of the party. And Mr. McLaughlin was asked about that this week on television, said, oh, I don't know the man. When they asked, why is he in a photograph with you, he said, no comment. We'll be talking to Eamon McCann at about the 2 o'clock hour about that. And after that, as I say, we will get a report on the Turkish hunger strike. And then I think at around the 2:30 hour, perhaps a little bit later, we'll hear from you. We'll open up the phones to talk about the IRA men in Colombia, the Turkish hunger strike, whatever else will be on your mind. And in a few minutes, we're going to talk to our own Nola Gorgora. But before we do that, we're going to go to some music.
Okay, we're going to be going to a song by Charlie and the Boys, and the title is Jim Larkin. And we're going to send this out to Grandpa Al Lewis, who is out there and missed dearly at this station. And he claims he knew Jim Larkin. So, and it's Labor Day, so here we go.
Brave and strong, we are on that day. but they broke me across the back. By a name I'm known, and it's not my own. They call me Crooked Jack. Now the ganger's blue-eyed boy was I. Big Jack could do no wrong. And the reason simply was because I could work hard hour than long. I was tall and true, all of 6 foot 2, but they broke me across the back. By a name I'm known, and it's not my own. They call me Crooked Jack. And I cursed the day that I went away to work on the hydro dam. For sweat and tears, our hopes and fears brought up in shuffling jams. I was tall and true, all of 6 foot 2, but they broke me across the back. By a name I'm known, and it's not my own. They call me Crooked
back to Radio Free Aaron, WBAI 99.5 FM. Liza, what was that we were listening to, Liza?
Okay, that was actually a new CD by a guy called John Doyle off Shanaky. It's his first solo CD called Evening Comes Early, and that was a song called Crooked Jack. And he actually is going to be playing with Liz Carroll down at the Philadelphia Cayley Group's annual traditional Irish music and dance festival. That's Saturday, September 8th, next Saturday. And they'll be performing at 3:40 and 9:40 p.m. And that's Memorial Hall, West Fairmount Park, 4231 North Concourse Drive, Philadelphia. For information, 215-849-8899.
Okay. We have with us on the line our Irish correspondent, distinguished historian, Nolik O'Gara. Nolik, thanks for being with us.
Hello, Sandy, and happy Labor Day, or whatever you say in the equivalent vernacular. I have a few and scrappy bits this week, if you don't mind, both history and current, but they are important items, and I want to put them on the record. If nothing else, we have to cover our tracks. The first one is a gentleman I want you all to track down for me, Mr. Martin Kelly, who was the new president of the New York Hibernians, the board of the Ancient Order of Hibernians in New York. He's a native of Castle Lambert, County Galway. He's been in America since 1964. He's married to Anne Marie Gallagher of the Frosses in County Donegal. He's described as a devout Catholic. Nobody'd put that in a CV over here in Ireland at this stage. And he's involved with the Patrick's Day Parade, and he also looks good on the national question. We'd want to say congratulations to him and hope that he'll come in and talk to you at some stage. He's a charter member also of Ballin the Mail Hall in Brooklyn, where they have an Irish festival every summer. But you know more about these things in America than I do. The other good news about changing the cultural tone for a moment, of course, is that the Republic of Ireland, that's the FAI 26 county soccer team, not Ireland, but 26 counties of Ireland, partitioned Ireland, beat Holland or the Dutch this evening in soccer, and therefore there's every possibility that we'll be going to the World Cup in Japan next year. Beating the Dutch is always an achievement. They're one of the great soccer teams, and our boys did well. The fact that they've all got English accents is due to the economic circumstances of a former generation. I want to report the death this evening of Nora Hannah Blaney, sister of the late Neil Blaney in Donegal, died in the hospice in Derry today. I guess Slav Degrev, she'll be buried in Ballinakil in Donegal on Monday. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it to the top of that far-fetched northern county on Monday, but friends of Neil Blaney and those who remember what the Blaney family did for the Irish cause over the years would probably be interested in that item. And then my best friend here, Gerard O'Toohig, Professor of History in UCG, has gone to the Irish University, the Gluckman Irish House down in New York University, replacing Joe Lee for the next 6 months. Hopefully you'll come across him in due course as well. And finally, with the personal notices, and we get them out of the way, Rufus Harry, an Irish missionary in the Philippines, was assassinated during the week in some sort of a kidnapping effort out there. It's one of the two sad stories running here in the news at the moment. The other one, of course, is a poor distraught father who shot his six-year-old kid and then shot himself in Clonmel this week, and that's one of those increasingly American type of stories, if you don't mind me saying so. It's creeping into our media far too frequently over here. Yes, love day, Goref Shirer Fad. Coming to the politics of the things, there are two items on the economic front that I'll mention first, and then we'll get back to the republicanism and the RUC. One is that, of course, the euro is coming nearer. The euro coins and notes were launched this week in Frankfurt, which is the new central bank running the huge euro market. And whether it's a good or a bad thing, I suppose only history will tell. I got the first reminder on Thursday when I bought some stamps for 30 pence, Irish pence, or 38 cent. And we don't pluralize the cent over here, which is 38, that's 0.38 of a euro. It's going to be all very complicated, but American tourists will realize that there will be only two currencies to contend with in Europe from now on, the euro, and then, of course, our good friends on the other island, the little Englanders, because the British believe that they're different from everybody else, but they're already complaining. And, of course, there will be problems in this for the north of Ireland, for traders in places like Derry and Donegal. And I suppose it would be fair to say that given the huge resources of the European community behind the Irish currency in the euro situation, there might be a case for making Ireland an all-euro area, even if the British government thinks it has other views on these matters. I don't know what the playout is, but it's an interesting one that's going on. And then there's another story that I want you to help me on, which is the Tobin tax. Professor Tobin, who must have an Irish grandmother, is a professor of economics in Yale. He has proposed several times over the years that to stabilize the world economies in a period of globalization, they should put a tax, an international tax, on all major movements of capital across frontiers. Now, we all know that laws are made to be broken, but it's not a bad idea, and those people who are concerned with third world debt have supported it. The French Prime Minister has now proposed this as part of a European project. Some say just because he wants to get the left-wing vote in France in the election. But I'd like to know what Americans think of this sort of attacks. And if anybody knows anything about Professor Tobin of Yale University, well, we'd like to know who his grandmother was. I rang the Galbraiths, but they're up in Vermont on holidays, which is good to hear that John Galbraith is still on holidays at the age of 93. Then coming back to the politics and the realities around here, Colombia is still in the news. I think it's now pretty clear that there really is nothing to charge these people with except perhaps illegal passports. And it's the product of a huge media spin by the British intelligence community aimed at discrediting Gerry Adams and his friends on both sides of the Atlantic, and possibly making it difficult for Bertie Ahern if he's going to rely on some of that Adams vote in the South in the next general election. In that regard, the Kilcrumper commemoration of General Liam Lynch takes place tomorrow outside Fermoy in County Cork. Now, the General Lynch commemoration used to take place on the second Sunday of September, but because the GAA has brought the hurling final onto the second Sunday, we now have to play it before the Cork team, who used to usually win the All-Ireland, would then go on to commemorate Liam Lynch. And the Speaker is Sean Kelleher, who was chairman of the H Block candidates election strategy in 1981 here in the South. He's described as being as near a Provo as you can find in County Cork. And while I would like to talk to the man himself about his own current political views on the present situation, he is the son of Tom Kelleher, the old veteran of the Upton ambush and so on. And it's seen by some people as an attempt by the Fianna Fáil-dominated committee to get that 3, 4 or 5% Sinn Féin vote in parts of Cork in the next general election. Then we come to the RUC and the ongoing game about the police. We now know that the Catholic hierarchy and John Hume and the SDLP have backed up together, and now Mr. Trimble is saying that, well, you know, he will probably nominate people too when he wants further clarifications. So it appears that 30 years down the road we're back to the SDLP and the official unionists seeking to share power on this police board without including all the other members of the community in the north of Ireland, be there the Paisleyites on one side or the Sinn Féin people on the other. Mr. Adams and his people, of course, wouldn't mind a general election, and really we're not sure where that's going as of yet. But politics really hasn't resumed here after the summer break so far.
Now, like when we spoke earlier in the week, you mentioned something about the Rose of Tralee.
Indeed, I forgot. I thought soccer took it off my mind. We have a patch roll.